It is so good to be here this morning. It is good to see you here, some who have been gone just a week, as spring break was last week. Some who have been gone for several months, some who have been out because of health issues, and we all seem to be in pretty good shape today. We're here, and I hope that we are here ready to hear God's Word, as that's what we are supposed to be here for. Let me ask you a question. Do you feel secure? As we come into this building and this country in which we live, we can have a certain amount of security knowing that the laws of the land at the present time allow that we can gather here, conduct worship to God as we see fit, but that's not what we should do. We should do as the Lord sees fit. And we can do so without fear of retribution. I want you to turn with me to our text this morning, John chapter 10, verses 27 through 29, as we're going to discuss for a little while the security of the saints. Understand, when we use the word saints, that we're talking about Christians, those who are children of God, those who have been obedient unto His Word, and therefore are indeed truly the sheep of which Jesus speaks. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." I've had people talk about spiritual security before and bring up this particular passage and says, you know, that those who are, those who belong to Christ cannot be plucked out of His hand. And this is true. The Bible teaches this. But nowhere does it teach that one cannot jump. But we want to talk about the security of the saints and how that we need to be secure. You know, everyone likes to feel secure. There are many big bucks spent to strengthen security. There are companies, there are fortunes that have been made by people by establishing a company that is designed to cause people to feel secure. You know, there's personal security. There's deadbolts. When we got our house, there are two glass doors coming off of the patio, and if you're so inclined to get into the house, you could at that point climb up, and because there are not stairs to the deck, but you could climb up and you could knock out the glass in the doors that led out onto the deck and reach in and turn a little knob. That would unlock the door. Well, that's been changed. Now, if you don't have a key inside and outside, you don't get through that particular door. There are alarms. Living out in the country as we do, in dark as pitch at night, I contracted with an alarm company, and they came in and put a free alarm company alarm system in my house. I've been paying for it ever since, but that's the way it goes. Some people have guards patrol their property. They want to feel secure. When they're not at work, they want guards there so that they know that when they come back, the work is going to be there, the building is going to be there, it's going to be unharmed. Sometimes people have guard dogs. Sometimes people have weapons. I know that a couple of vehicles I've seen recently have a sticker on the back window that says, "Security provided by Smith & Wesson." They have a gun. And they will use it. There's also public security, police, military, etc. And there's a number of things that we can say about security. But there are three basic things about security which we need to understand. First and foremost, and I've kind of touched on this already, we live in an insecure world. It's a world of general uncertainty. When I say that, I don't mean that we live in a world which we have to worry all the time about someone breaking in, someone taking that which is ours or harming us. But there's a general uncertainty. James speaks of it in James chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, as he's writing in this general epistle to those that were scattered abroad. He said, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such a city and continue therein, there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. And then he gives the reason why they ought not to do that. He's not saying we ought not to make plans. But he says in verse 14, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. We live in a world that is full of general uncertainty, but we also know that there are some specific uncertainties out there. It seems like an oxymoron, doesn't it? But we live in a world of political uncertainty. I don't have time to go into that right now, nor is this the purpose of our gathering today, but we know that as our nation is gearing up to elect a new leader in a few months, there's a lot of political uncertainty. People are weighing the issues and the candidates. We know that international tensions go up and down daily. We have this little thing on our phone, it's called breaking news. And invariably, this little sound will come up if we don't have it on silence. And we look at it and we know that international tensions go up and down because of the terrorist attacks and all that sort of thing. We know that in our own government, internal corruption exists. Scandals appear daily. We also live in a world of economic uncertainty. Things have been a bit hectic in the economic realm. But that's not what we're to worry about. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21, we see Jesus speaking to those people, warning them about that which is of most importance. Yes, we want to be secure financially. Yes, we want to be secure in our government. Yes, we want to be secure from a general standpoint. But Jesus addressed this situation where he said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. We might say, you know, we have this personal security, the deadbolts, the alarms, the guard dogs, the guns, the public security, police, military, and all these things that we've already talked about. We say, what kind of moths are we talking about? When Jesus is talking about this, he's talking about the moths of inflation, of taxes, of business failures, threats to retirement systems. I remember a number of years ago, long before my parents were of the retirement age, when it was told to me, you better make plans for the future because Social Security won't be there when you get there. Well, we'll see. I'm closer now than I was then, but we'll see. But it's a worry for people. Company plans have changed dramatically. A lot of companies that used to offer retirement plans don't anymore. So there's no security there. We live also in a world of physical uncertainty. We've already talked about James chapter 4. We're going to go back to verse 14, where he says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. You know, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. Disease occurs. Accidents occur. You can sit in any group of people that talk about their family, and all of them will have one that was taken on an untimely manner. And when I say taken, I don't mean the Lord took them. I mean their life was diminished. Sometimes by disease. Sometimes by horrific accident. But don't you know they were looking forward to tomorrow? Uncertainty is there. What about man's inhumanity to man? We hear about people walking into a building and brandishing a weapon and shooting folks. Folks who were there minding their own business. Oh yes, we live in a world of physical uncertainty. But we also live in a world of spiritual uncertainty. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, the Spirit has John write in this general epistle regarding this. A fact that existed then and exists now. And we say, well, wait a minute, we don't have prophets. Well, yes, we do. He said to them, and it is applicable today as it was the day it was written, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And you think, you know, not everybody has to be checked out very closely. There was a number of years ago, we were living in Pensacola, Florida, and there was a television program on, and my father-in-law was watching, and he said, come listen to this guy. Man, he really says some good stuff. He was a good speaker. Well polished. And as we listened to the message, there were some things that had he been preaching in a pulpit, in a building in which we were sitting, we probably would have said amen. And we were turning, I was turning, and my father-in-law had almost instant recall. He knew when the guy called out the scripture what he was going to say. I was turning back and forth. And he read the scriptures, and he did this until he got to a point. Until he got to the point of salvation. And his little train went right off the tracks. He was a false prophet. Leading people falsely. And he had to be tried. Try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world, and there are many out there today. There are those just like Pilate in John chapter 18 and verse 38 who are asking, what is truth? I've had people to say to me, you know, the truth to you is not the truth to me. Really, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Does it change from person to person, from individual to individual, from situation to situation? Where's the security in that? Notice this particular passage. Pilate said unto him, speaking to Christ, what is truth? And when he said this again, he said this, he went out again to the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But the Jews did what they wanted to do anyway. You know, we need to also understand not only the fact that we live in an insecure world, but that we can feel secure without being secure. I mentioned earlier about having an alarm company monitor the alarm system at the house, and they do a good job. And invariably, when I got to a point where I couldn't rush right back to the house, or even while I was rushing back to the house because an alarm had sounded for whatever reason, I had felt secure prior to that. The phone rings. The lady on the phone is very nice, very courteous, very businesslike. Says, this is so-and-so with the alarm company. There has been an alarm. There's an alarm activated at your house. Should I call the police? I think every time that happened, I said, why haven't you done so already? But after the call came, I no longer felt secure. I was not secure. Drove home, found a big moth in there one time. Well, I still felt secure. The doors were locked, the windows were on, no screens were taken off, and no footprints around the windows or anything like that. Again, I felt secure. But you can feel secure without really being secure. In Luke chapter 12, verses 19 and 20, we find that the rich fool apparently felt secure. This was a man who had prospered. This was a man who had done well. This was a man who said, you know what, I've got everything I need. He felt secure. Let's read this. Luke chapter 12, verse 19, beginning. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Let me interject the thought here. I'm afraid that there are many in the church today that had the attitude of this man. I've been a member of the church for X number of years. I've done this good work, that good work. I've led people to Christ. I'm going to sit back and take my ease. Now let's read verse 20. But God said unto him, thou fool! This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Now he's talking about from the physical standpoint when he asks the question, then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? You work hard all your life. You gain, you access all these funds. You're able to live comfortably. And then when you die, I don't care who you are or how much you have, when you die it belongs to somebody else. There's no security in that. This is physical. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Why? Because he laid up treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves exist. But spiritually, we can feel secure without being secure. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17. We have a group of people that are known for something else. They're known for being lukewarm. You know that I'm talking about the Laodiceans. They felt secure. They were comforted in the fact that they were of the body of Christ. Notice what is said of them in verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. There was some self-acclaimed security. Look at me. I am rich. I am increased with goods. I have need of nothing. Notice what is said about them. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. They felt secure, but they're standing on a very unstable foundation. Unfortunately, there will be many that will feel secure until their death. There will be many that will feel secure when Christ returns. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 3 speaks of this. And there will be those who will argue with you about their soul's condition and their salvation and how they achieved such level or attained such promise of salvation. And they feel secure. But 1 Thessalonians 5, 3 says, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. All the security in the world is not going to change the situation. You can have a lock on every door. You can have an alarm system. We've even got these little devices you can buy at Home Depot that you can put against the doorknob and put against the floor. And I know I tried it. I unlocked the door and put that bad boy in shape and wore my shoulder out trying to get in the door. We feel very secure. But there's nothing the world says that when we come home one day, it won't be a pile of ashes burnt to the ground. People spiritually feel secure, but they're not. Therefore, it comes to our final point. We can both feel and be secure only in Christ. We can feel and be secure in Christ because of the assurance of His Lordship. We need to understand that only Christ can provide that which man needs from a spiritual standpoint. Acts chapter 2, verses 30 through 36, we see the record of the preaching of the Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost. Know that all of the apostles were preaching. All of them were teaching. All of them participated in baptizing. But we have the record of the sermon spoken by Peter. He says, therefore, in verse 30, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Verse 31 is an explanation of this. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. In other words, he didn't stay dead. He didn't rot, as bodies will do. What is this saying? It's the same thing. He spoke of the resurrection of Christ. Verse 32, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. The things which they were witnesses of when the apostles were preaching, and the things that had just occurred which brought them all together, was because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he goes on to explain, for David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. And now the point. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. What if you had in your mind the security of the fact that because you were of the seed of Abraham, that God would take care of you. And then you come to find out that you've taken the only begotten Son of God and you crucified him. I suspect you do the same thing they did. Men and brethren, what shall we do? We can be assured because of Christ's lordship. We are told this here. We are secure and can be and feel secure because of the nature of his priesthood. You know, Christ is our great high priest. But it's not like the priesthood that existed under the old law. It's not like any other priesthood that has ever existed. He is merciful to us. In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, we see this. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. In other words, he came to earth to live in a physical body, to be tempted like as we are, to feel pain, to feel discomfort, to feel sadness, the whole gamut of human emotions. Why? Look at the next phrase. That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Listen. Christ came. He lived. He was mistreated. He was killed. Yes, he fully understands what we're going through. And he provides for us security. Because of his priesthood, he completely forgives. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 17 tells us how complete it is. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, God doesn't lose his mind. He knows what you've done. He knows who you are and what you're going to do. But he doesn't hold those sins against you if you've repented of them. And if you've been obedient. And he continually forgives. Now, there are conditions associated with it. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, we see those who have become children of God, the condition associated with it. But if you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sins. How do we know what we're to do? Well, go to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. You're right there close. And in this, not only does it tell us what we are to do, but it also tells us who it is that will help us, where our security comes from. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. In other words, the things that he had written are the words of God given to him by the Spirit that he would deliver to the people so that they would not sin. However, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Because Jesus was here. And he knows what we're going through. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. It also tells us in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 that there's a condition. We read there, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But one has to become a member of the body of Christ to receive that forgiveness of sins. And you know what? That's conditional also. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, a continuation of what we read earlier. After these people had realized, had been told they'd crucified the Son of God, men and brethren, what shall we do? We see in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized. He did not say to them, come and be baptized or come and participate in whatever you want baptism to be. He said, repent and be baptized. How? In the name of Jesus Christ. And it was applicable to every one of them. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name or by the authority of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is security. Because of the nature of Christ's priesthood, is quite helpful. We've already alluded to this, but Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 and 16 points this out very clearly and succinctly. It tells us, seeing that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Here's a proclamation. This is Jesus Christ, the one who came forth from the grave. He ascended to the Father. He became our high priest. Verse 15 says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Don't think for a minute that you have temptations that are different than the ones that Christ had. They're just wrapped in a different bow. Same type of temptations. We can have security in Christ because He is stable. In Hebrews chapter 7, verses 23 through 25, also speaks of the priesthood of Christ. Know that under the old law, the Mosaic system, the priest only served for a specific period of time. The high priest, from the point at which he was appointed high priest until the time of his death. And then it passed on to someone else, and someone else, and someone else on down the line. But not so with Christ. Hebrews 7:23 tells us, and they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, speaking of Christ, because he continueth forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. And somebody says, well, wait a minute, he died. Uh-oh. But he wasn't a priest until after he was resurrected. And he lives forever. An unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. How is it that we can have security? Well, it's by the surety of his word. In Matthew 24:35, Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. We look out upon this earth and we say, well, it's been here a long time. I'm not going to assign a date to it. I guarantee you that any date that I would assign would be a whole lot less than the scientists. And I have support from the Bible to back that up. However, one day it's going to end. The earth and the works therein shall be burned up. But God's word will not. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, we can have security because God is long-suffering. But we also know we have security not because He's long-suffering, but because His promise is sure. It tells us there, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oftentimes I have people say to me, you know, God's merciful. Don't you agree? Yes, I do. Well, because God's merciful, He will not send anybody to hell. I agree. Everyone who goes to hell does it on their own. Now, the Lord will speak the sentence, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. But this long-suffering of God is that He has given us time so that we might find security. And that security is only in Jesus. You know, He's not made any idle promises. Security of the world is based upon idle promises. But the promises of the Lord are not. Mark 16:16 tells us, gives us a promise. It says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And you say, I like that promise. But notice the flip side of that coin. But he that believeth not shall be damned. It's not an idle promise. There are going to be those who will spend eternity separated from God, tortured forever. That's why in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, we find the words of the Lord. As he's giving it to those people there, those who would perhaps be alive and remain when the kingdom came, but also is applicable to us today. He says there in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Friends, let me tell you, not only are the blessings of life going to come to us, but security if we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We say, well, how do we do that? Well, 1 Peter 5:7 gives us some insight. It tells us there, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Oftentimes people think of this passage when they say, I've turned it over to the Lord. I had someone say to me one time, you know, I turned it over to the Lord, but I still worry about it. I said, huh? Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. He cared enough to come and die on Calvary's cross so that we could have security. We see this in John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29. The latter part of our text this morning. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Security. Security only in Christ. Also, the threats that He made are not bluffs. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9 tells us, regarding those who questioned, what about the dead? What about those who are already asleep? He says, and to you that are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels. Notice this, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is not a bluff. It is a fact. Notice what will happen to them, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Yet, people still feel secure. They are become as the Laodiceans, Revelation 3:16. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. There are no heedless warning or needless warnings. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, we see a passage, perhaps one that we should all take to heart. All of us in some way or another are legends in our own mind. We're pretty secure in what we know and what we can do, or maybe what we think we can do. But this passage says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You know, even those who are at one time secure in Christ can be on the edge of a precipice. They can be ready to fall. We are to take heed. You want security? Turn with me to Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39, a passage as we will close that talks about security. And it begins with a statement that is clear, that God plus one is a majority, because God is all powerful. It says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Notice the next verse. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? You want security? Here it is. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or perils or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You want spiritual security? There it is. But know that in order to be spiritually secure, you have to be in Christ. And only in Christ is where real spiritual security exists. It's the only type of security that's important. Because if we're secure in Christ, that means we are obedient to God, and we're doing His will, and we're preparing ourselves to spend eternity with Him. What about you? Do you want to be secure? You can be. You might very well ask the question, what is it that I need to do in order to be secure in Christ? What is it that I need to do to be obedient to what God would have me do? We're to hear the word, James chapter 1 and verse 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Not only were we to hear it, we are to heed it. And that means do it. What does it tell us to do? It tells us to believe. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 37, when the eunuch wanted to be baptized, Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You don't have to know everything about the Bible before you become a child of God. You simply need to know that you're lost. You need to know that the Bible teaches that you want to believe, and you're to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But there's also other things that you must do in order to receive this spiritual security. You must repent. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30 looks at the past and looks at the present, which also includes the future. When it says the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Therefore, it's a commandment. We must do it. We're also to confess. In Matthew 16, verses 15 and 16, Jesus asked his disciples, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then we're to be baptized. 1 Peter 3:21 puts it so clear and so plain how it is that we can have this spiritual security or lay hold on it. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then, in order to remain secure, we've got to remain faithful. The Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, near the end of his life, was directed by the Spirit to write these words we find in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Words that we all ought to be able to say at the conclusion of our life, provided we are secure in Christ. He says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Perhaps you're here today and you've been involved in this spiritual security, and for whatever reason, you've gone out and left the door unlocked. In other words, you've gone back out into the world. You've allowed sin to come into your life. Know that you can again attain spiritual security, but you must do so in accordance to God's plan. And it's only applicable to those who are children of God, those erring Christians. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22, repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God that perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Do you want to be secure in Christ? You can today. As we stand and open up our songbooks to the selected song, I'm going to ask you, if you need to respond to the invitation, won't you do so as together we stand and sing?